Hello, hello! Welcome to How to Be a Changemaker. I am so excited to have you here. If you are an organizational leader and have a deep desire to one, motivate yourself better and to lead yourself with deeper courage, confidence, and conviction, two, empower your employees to be their best, and three, innovate and create a work culture that allows everybody to thrive, you are in the right place. My name is Samantha Clark. I am your host. I'm a happiness consultant and resident change maker here, and I cannot wait to share with you all the gems and amazing goodness in this episode. Take a seat, get ready to enjoy, and tuck in. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope that you're well. I am super excited to be here with you again for another episode of How to Be a Changemaker. So I wanted to follow on from the theme, the part one theme that we talked about in terms of changing our attitude, our approach, and our mindset to well-being, thinking, and doing so that we can ultimately change the world. And I talked about the importance for us to really identify how do we change and sculpt our inner well-being so that it translates into a healthy relationship with ourselves, with our mind, our soul, our body, but then also ripples out into a relationship, a healthier relationship with our social environment and also the way that we're working and maybe even our personal environment too. And so within that, for us to drive forward new ways of being, innovating, curating, connecting, communicating, we have to lead differently. We have to be different. And especially in these times, which are calling for us to be adaptive, to be able to handle change with confidence and to lean into uncertain headwinds, we need to be stronger on so many different dimensions. And that dimension of deep inner understanding and deep inner health can only support and grow everything that we're trying to do at an organizational level, at a team level, even within your sector. And so what I want you to work towards is experiencing more of that inner connection and that wholeness and recognizing that your well-being, your approach, your manner to your actions, the way that you speak about yourself, the way that you take care of yourself, the way that you understand your stress symptoms, the way that you communicate with others around what you need, is going to be it's a lifelong journey for one, but it needs to be conscious and it needs to be intentional and it needs to be meaningful so that you are spending time doing the things that put you at your utmost best, that surround you with the right family, friends, resources that motivate and elevate you, that enable you to show up at work effectively, be part of a team, reach your goals, empower and courageously conversate with people that you work with and give back in ways that you never knew possible. And it only comes from, again, having that solid, trusted capability and earnest understanding of who you are and what you need to adopt to keep perfecting and being in your best possible frame of mind, attitude, and body. And so with this time of recording, it's August, and this is downtime for many of us in some shape or form. Maybe you've been able to take the whole month off, or maybe you are taking just a long weekend. Maybe you're taking a couple of weeks and you have your children, or you are away with your partner, or maybe you're just doing a solo vacation. Whatever it is, I want you to be able to use this episode and the last one to take some time out to journal and voice note your way to greater well-being. And I've been doing lots of preliminary research. I talked in the previous episode about starting to prepare to go on my PhD journey, and I'm professing it because that means now I've actually committed to it. I did start this journey in 2018, And I wasn't fully ready yet. And then I ended up getting a book deal. So I went into a different direction, but I feel completely ready now. And I feel very concrete in what I want to research. But it's definitely opened my mind up to a few of the studies that are out there in terms of that deep connection with inner well-being and how that supports greater organizational growth, community and societal growth, and just that deep awareness, which I think Eastern philosophy has always been about, that, you know, that inner connection is what creates the greater outward change. And so as we start to revisit some of the questions from the last episode, they were: one, when was the last time you lost your voice in a work situation? How did it make you feel to not be able to stand up for yourself, ask for what you wanted, or that ability to share your gifts? So where have you felt yourself feeling stifled? Maybe over the course of this year, maybe in the past, maybe it's only just shown up in the past month or so. Do you think that has been due to stress, anxiety, not knowing your place or your standing at work, feeling disconnected due to remote working? And when we lose our voices in different situations, both personal and professional, it eats away at our confidence, it eats away at our ability to trust ourselves in what we're doing. And the next question following on from that was really about identifying what skills and strengths have others seen in you, in the way that you work, in the way that you live your life, that you haven't fully owned. And so whether you take the time out to do a little survey with your coworkers, your colleagues, your peers, your friends, your family members, to just tap in and think, you know, what strengths do you think that I consistently underuse to my detriment? They may not know, or maybe they have a very clear idea, and it just helps to help you navigate and to find new ways of being, new ways of tapping into and learning about yourself. And I've done this recently with some friends, and you know, it's helped me to kind of step out of myself to spend August in a place of learning and being experimental and playing a bit more to enhance some new strengths. I also asked you, where are you settling for good enough in your life right now? What would be possible if you were no longer willing to just go with the status quo? Because when you set the bar too low on your self-care, on your well-being, on your attitude and approach to your self-leadership, everyone else doesn't feel the need to raise their bar. Especially members on your team, if you're a leading team, if you're leading in a company, you want people to be striving for excellence. But it has to definitely come from you. So where have you been setting the bar too low? And then the last question is, if you were living at your fullest capacity in your life and your work, what would that look like right now? Who do you want to be? What is that vision of who you want to become? It's always super important to have this goal in mind. You know, what am I walking towards? What's that vision? Have I created maybe even a vision board if that's your thing? Maybe it's just, you know, a little document that you might keep about the intentions that you've set for yourself. And are you living to those day in, day out? What are you doing to walk towards those goals? Or are some of the actions that you're taking, some of the ways of being, the sidesteps that you may have taken in jobs, or, you know, walking away from a job role or an opportunity to go another way? What are you doing to kind of live your life to your fullest capacity? Because we only get one life. Or we're currently just living in the one that we have now, and we have to make it the best that it can be. So what are you doing to kind of step into that? So those were the questions from last time, and I have several more for you today. First up, what's one big action that you could take today that would make a huge difference to your work happiness and your well-being a year from now? So what could that action step be? And I always believe that it's the small incremental moves that compound into greater ways of being. You know, we all know this from just finance, you know, putting away and investing. I'm not talking about saving, I'm talking about investing. Even £25 a month will accumulate over the years. And the more that you consistently do that every month, it compounds. It's much like habits and action steps that we take in our lives that we don't realize have a great foundational base towards who we want to become. And it goes into that question of who do you want to be? Okay, well, if you want to be this person who, you know, is running their own business, or maybe you're a CEO of an organization, or perhaps you want to start your own portfolio career, or maybe you want to do a PhD, whatever it is, how do you start to take some actions today that are going to make a difference? Maybe it's not even as lofty as some of those work or professional goals. Maybe it is about you just saying, actually, a year from now, I want to feel lighter in my body. I want to feel stronger. That was definitely one of my goals at the beginning of the year. I want to feel stronger. I want to start doing a lot more weight-based training just to feel stronger in my body. And I can wholeheartedly say I feel a lot stronger now, consistently agreeing to a habit of weight training every morning. And, you know, consistent sessions with my teacher weekly, just to make sure that I'm staying the course. And so one action, what's one action you could take? And that was, you know, for me, it's just making sure that I roll out my mat. And even if I could only do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'm doing it daily. And it's compounded into me feeling better day in, day out. What could it be for you? Could it be that actually I am going to commit to just having a, I don't know, just having a green juice every morning, or checking in with a friend of mine once a week, or reading one chapter of a book every day? How do I start to move towards taking actions that I know are going to have a deeper, deeper, deeper change in the way that I approach my work, in the way that I stand confidently, in the way that I can manage stress differently, in the way that I can communicate with people differently, the way that I can put myself forwards for a promotion because I know how to talk about my value, or that I've been building my value through taking mini courses? What are you going to do today that's going to have a big difference a year from now? Another question is, what's the one thing that you don't want anyone in your life to know about when it comes to your working life? This is a big one, and this is often a question that I do ask sometimes when I am doing intakes for one-to-one coaching with me, or even for those who are applying for my Changemaker certification. And, you know, it's fascinating to hear some of the feedback that people will tell me about the things that they are lying about when it comes to the way that they're working and the work that they think everyone believes that they're, you know, happy doing. And actually there's a big, big lie in how they feel about work, how they feel about the relationships that they're in at work, and how they are growing at work. And maybe they feel like actually they feel like they're regressing, or maybe they have stayed in jobs for historical reasons, you know, parental expectations. And so it's important to think, where am I lying to myself about the work that I'm doing? And when you are not wholeheartedly, authentically aligned and out of alignment with the way that you're working, it really does affect your well-being. It eats away at your soul. And you end up trying to be multiple different types of people in one working day. And the mask will slip. And it's only a matter of time before you become wary of who you actually are. You forget your own inner being, and other people become wary of you because they don't know who's showing up today. They don't know what version of you they are getting. And so finding that alignment piece with, if something's not working, how do we establish what it is? How do we start to correct, course correct? How do we start to talk about what it is that you need? And how do you start to really shed this layer of pretense and hiding so that you can be free to do the work that you want to do, to show up and be your best version? The next question is, what resources are you not tapping into? This is a big one. I recently did a workshop for Simon Sinek's platform on reducing stress and anxiety. You should definitely check it out. It's very well received. And we really went into obviously the science around stress, how it shapes us, the different responses around stress. And I was inviting individuals to really create a web of the support that they see in their lives and who are the people that they have in their work ecosystem, in their work web, and who do they have in their personal lives? How much support are they giving those individuals and how much support are they getting back? And I was shocked to see the reports back that not a lot of people were actually reaching out to the people in their web. They didn't know how to actually ask for help. There was also a realization when they saw it on paper that they didn't have enough people in their own little matrix. And there was a lot of fear around actually tapping into the resources. It goes back to the thoughts I mentioned in the last chapter about us feeling like we need to be the hero of our work story and that we can't be kind to ourselves because we are supposed to be the superheroes. We are supposed to be taking care of each other, taking care of others, supporting, building, growing, meeting KPIs, balancing a million plates. And there's only so much that we can do without actually realizing that it takes a village. You know, if you want to go far, you go alone. If you want to go further, you go together. And so I want to ask you, what resources are you not tapping into? And what is the fear around you not tapping into these resources? Is it because you don't want to be beholden to other people? Is it because you don't want to look weak? Do you not know how to ask for what you need? I think it's imperative that when you are trying to map out what you need, that you understand, okay, who is able to help me? How can they help me? When can they help me? What is it that I actually need by way of help? And then it really does invite the other person to say, yes, I can do this for you, or no, that's beyond my capacity. Here is somebody else that I know that can support you. Until we get better at really understanding what resources we have and don't have, how we can tap into them when we need to, we won't be able to really be the best versions of ourselves. And the last question, I guess, linking into that is, when did you feel that you weren't able to support an employee, a coworker, a friend, a peer to your best ability? And what stopped you from being able to do that? So, you know, really lean back and think, where was there a bridge that I couldn't cross to support one of my teammates or somebody on my team? And what was the block or the barrier for me to be able to give them the help that they needed? And how do I start to overcome that? Was it a block in me not being able to empathize or to listen correctly or to feel disempowered because we didn't have an answer straight away, and so therefore we didn't feel like we were able to support them? What was going on for you with that? And I think when we start to question maybe what our blocks were around supporting them and how we could navigate things differently, we start to release some of the pressure. And so I think the difficulty that I find speaking to middle managers and also some leaders is that there's a fear of not having the distinctive answer. And actually the role that you need to play is, yes, ebbing and flowing between being directive, maybe delegating, but it is that supporting and coaching where you're teasing out within them to find the answer, within them to go deeper, to approach a complex problem with new eyes and to interrogate it from a different way. They're not looking for you just to solve it with a tick box answer. So that can let go of some of that pressure. So hopefully those have been some great questions for you to sit with, stew on, journal, voice note over this downtime in August so that you can prepare better for September and that kind of stepping back into work mode. So let me just recap on the questions that I've shared with you today. What's one action that you could take today that will make a big, 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 big difference to your work happiness and your well-being a year from now? What will that be? Is it going to be your approach to your health? Is it going to be your listening abilities? Is it going to be your organizational methods? Is it going to be your ability to connect with people in new ways and network differently to widen your work portfolio, your work network? Is it about something completely removed, the way you handle your family life so that it can support your work? The next question was, what's the one thing that you don't want anyone in your life to know about when it comes to your working life? Where are you hiding around your job? Where are you hiding in your working life? What are the things that you don't want to admit? What do you think are perceived failures? And how are these things subconsciously holding you back? The next question was, what resources are you not tapping into? Where are you not asking for help? Where in your connection web, whether that's work or personal, what resources are lacking? Do you feel that you are constantly outpouring to others and getting very little back? And is the reason you're not getting anything back because you yourself have a deep fear of asking for help? And the last one is, when did you last feel that you couldn't support your employees to the best of your work ability? Now, as I've mentioned, really thinking about, when was the last time that you were not able to uplift, to listen, to be intuitive, to be compassionate to another individual? And perhaps where were you hiding? Where did you feel that there was a level of incompetence? Where did you feel that you maybe lacked compassion? And what might you do differently moving forwards? So those are your questions. What's come up for you? What questions do you have? What questions stemmed from those questions? And I hope that this really paves the way for a bit of contemplation amidst all the busyness and the chaos and the hecticness of life. I hope that you do take some time to really understand and tap into your inner peace, your inner well-being, so that you can change the environments, the workplaces, the families, the friendships, the communities that you're part of as well. Take care, and I will see you very soon. Hello, hello. Well, what another fantastic episode. Thank you so much for carving out the time to hang out with us and hear everything that was shared today on our podcast. If you are interested in becoming a change maker and something has piqued your interest and you want to either revamp your own ways of looking at your well-being as you lead a team through change, or maybe you want to create deeper interventions in your company that are going to stick and that people care about actually using, why not join our Changemaker certification? This is our roadmap to helping you go through our three areas of change: becoming a better change maker, empowering and inspiring others to do the same, and amplifying the message that you have created. Check out all the details of our Changemaker certification on loveitleaveit.co, and I cannot wait to get started with you. See you soon for another amazing episode. Bye for now.